We are WNST, AM 1570, Taos of Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. It is opening day week around here. We have opined about the life and legacy of Peter Giangelos. If you happen to hear the Peter principles around here, it's not me spiking the ball. It's me finishing the legacy in history. We expect David Rubenstein to take over on Thursday. It is a momentous week. Luke and I are in Florida right now. We're about to do a segment here discussing the NFL owners meetings that are going on at the JW Marriott here in Orlando, right outside of Lake Buena Vista. MIC, see you soon. We're going to be doing the Maryland Lottery Crab Cake Tour beginning at Fadley's on Fridays this month. We're also going to be at Costas on the 9th of April. I'm working out a Coco's date for later on in April as well. We hope to see you out. We'll be giving away the 10 times the cash scratch-offs. There are Pac-Man scratch-offs now, so I got to get some Waka Wakas. Luke Jones joins us now. We've discussed baseball, more baseball. We've watched a lot of baseball. We've gone to baseball. We've been rained out of baseball. We've had texts from baseball. We've had Jackson Holiday not make. We've had Peter Angelos die on this trip. We haven't made it home yet. And we're really here for the NFL owners meetings. Your first NFL owners meetings. Now, by the time people hear this, they may be in progress, different things. I've been to about 18 of them, Luke, so I can tell you a lot of things about these owners' meetings, but you are going to see opulence on the lawn on Monday night, and unlike anything you've ever seen before, and I hope you enjoy being behind the velvet carpet and the little red rope while I'm outside drinking from the other water cooler, but my beers will be just as cold on the outside, I assure you.
So, yeah, you'll be outside the perimeter, I guess. Well, but that was a lie about the stadium, right? So...
I love when you start stealing my snark.
Yeah, not to make light of that on your part, but yeah, I mean, look, it's a unique experience for me. I'm looking forward to that. I hope I'm not underdressed at the festivities on Monday night, but I think, you know, as it pertains to the Baltimore Ravens, I think it's a very interesting time in terms of where they are roster building wise and what they've done to this point, what they have not done to this point, who they've signed, whom they have not signed. I mean, it's very much incomplete. I think that the best way to put the roster right now is very much incomplete in terms of since guys they've lost in positions of need that they have right now. Now, since the last time you and I met in this forum to discuss, we talked about it over the course of the last week in private conversation, but they've added some depth pieces, you know, Chris Board, a veteran inside linebacker, bringing back, you know, someone that came up as a Raven, as an undrafted rookie free agent, and, you know, has cut his teeth here in Baltimore, went elsewhere, and it's a good special teams player, a little bit of an insurance policy, I think, as it pertains to replacing Patrick Queen, as we expect Trenton Simpson to ultimately get that job. They brought in Josh Jones, you know, formerly of the Houston Texans, a versatile offensive tackle, has some positional flexibility, I think, you know, so I think he's an interesting piece, not someone I'm ready to just pencil into the starting lineup, but certainly a name of interest. Getting a little bit closer to last weekend, you know, they met with Josh Reynolds, you know, they met with Michael Gallup, you know, so they've been looking at some veteran wide receivers. So they've been casting a wide net. Now, I'm not saying that any of those names I just mentioned are quote unquote answers for them for 2023, but they certainly could be depth pieces that ultimately help them out. But, the biggest thing I'm looking to see from John Harbaugh with the coach's breakfast, which is always first thing Monday morning, the AFC side, NFC the following day, is, you know, where is he with some of these young offensive linemen? You know, we can talk about drafting a tackle or a guard at 30th. You know, we can talk about drafting a second lineman on day two or early day three or whenever it is. But, you know, we've talked about it for a while. Chances are, given the attrition that they've experienced with Kevin Zeitler out the door and Morgan Moses out the door and John Simpson out the door, replacing three starters, I have a tough time thinking that it's going to be three brand new arrivals, veterans or draft picks. You know, I feel like at least one of those spots is going to be filled by an incumbent. So is it Ben Cleveland at right guard? Is it Jason Voorhees, or not Jason? It's Friday the 13th right there. Andrew Voorhees, the guy they took in the seventh round last year out of USC, tore up his knee at the combine. Is it him? Maybe at left guard. You know, is it Daniel Faalele, even though I have my
I was
going to
say it's not
front.
him. I don't think it's
I don't
him.
think so. I don't think so.
If he were the left tackle of the future, they wouldn't have given Stanley the money.
But
yeah,
I'll give you
seriously, right? They would have said, "All right, we're done with you. We'll keep the."
Well, he wouldn't be left. He would be right. He would be a right tackle. Yeah.
But I
think that the name that could be interesting, you know, it might be that Patrick McCary does start the year as a starter. You know, after being their super utility guy, you know, their sixth lineman that can play any of the five spots. So, you know, I kind of want to see where John Harbaugh is with that. And look, he might say that everything's great because they don't really know what to say otherwise right now. And that's that. But, you know, I want to hear where he is with Ben Cleveland, where he is with Voorhees, where he is with Big Sala, who started training camp as their starting left guard last summer before they put the pads on. And then it was like, oh, he's not close to ready. But maybe he will be ready this summer. So, you know, that's the big position for me, because you have some internal candidates, in-house candidates, that I have a tough time believing that they're going to find all their answers from outside, you know, whether it's, you know, they brought in the guy from the Texans, or, you know, whether it's drafting a couple. I feel like one of those incumbents, you know, one of those backup incumbents are probably going to have to fill one of the starting roles, if not two of them. So that's where, you know, that's probably one of my first questions to John Harbaugh. And, you know, I'm sure others will be thinking the same thing, but, you know, it's an interesting time, because this league meeting compared to last year at this time, or certainly the year before, you know, on the heels of the Watson contract and Bisciotti speaking and, you know, kind of stepping in it, so to speak, in terms of some of the things that were said that ruffled some feathers, you know, kind of either other teams around the league or Lamar or whatever it was. You know, they are in a quieter spot in terms of, you know, they're not dealing with a franchise quarterback that is unhappy and tagged and, you know, at this point, you know, was requesting a trade, at least privately. Or actually, that's when we found out, right? That was officially when Lamar had tweeted out that he had requested a trade. So it's going to be way quieter on that front. But this team does have a lot of, you know, a lot of question marks right now. And that's not to say that they won't figure it all out come August and September. But there are a lot of holes and there's a lot of uncertainty here. So will be interesting to see what John Harbaugh has to say, but just overall looking forward to kind of being in this atmosphere, at least personally for me, the first time that I've been around it.
I've been at a lot, and this is the time of the year where when somebody gets arrested, or when a quarterback, big quarterback change, or even a franchise moving, like I was there the day they moved the Oakland Raiders to Las Vegas. They made the announcement in front of me out in Scottsdale a couple years ago, as well as a whole bunch of Raiders protesters that were outside of the Biltmore. So all those kinds of things. I don't know if there's anything global there. I was going to say to you that the biggest story in the world of sports this week would be Shohei Ohtani. And if that sort of thing happened in the NFL, if it was Jared Goff who was gambling or whatever, everybody would be at the Detroit Lions. You know, like whoever it is, I saw Mike Tomlin when Ben Roethlisberger had his problems down in Georgia.
Right.
And he was the one where everybody was. Bill Belichick after Deflategate, where everybody was, right? I don't know that there's anything like that, but they're certainly, for Mike Tomlin at his table, let's say, talking about, you know, two new quarterbacks, right? One from Chicago, one from Seattle, young guy, old guy, who's going to play, we're going to start the starter, all of that. I think it'd be interesting to be at the Colts table, talk about Joe Flacco, right? So quarterbacks and drama and new coaches that have never done this before, general managers that have never done this before, or in some cases, owners who have never done this before, including Josh Harris.
Yeah, no question about it. And what's interesting, you know, with some of what you just mentioned, I mean, John Harbaugh, and we saw this at the Combine. I think at the Combine, the first four questions he got were either about Jim Harbaugh or one of the coaches that had just left the Ravens to become a head coach somewhere else. I mean, that it might have been the first seven of the first eight, something
There'll
like that.
There'll be no doubt that the Seattle beat writers will be over at John's table asking him everything. That's the way this works. You're going to see that.
No doubt. And okay, I mean, the Chargers might be a little bit different because Jim Harbaugh will be talking at the same time. But anyone that has...
Oh, I forgot! Jim's going to be there too!
Exactly.
So, give him my best. Tell him I said hello. I forgot about that.
So there's so much of that going on.
Jack's going to be here, and Jackie, and like, oh, they're all going to be here.
I have not heard one way or the other, but it's very well possible. So But we saw that at the combine. I mean, Eric got those questions about the attrition. You know, John got the questions about the coaching attrition. So, you know, I think there'll definitely be some of that to the chagrin of us local reporters that are here wanting to try to maybe find out about, you know, some of the roster building questions. But
Oh, we did the where's the owner thing because that it's the
yeah.
owner's meeting. It's not the head coach's meeting. It's not the
Correct.
general, it's the owner's meetings. And, you know,
Correct.
people like us get on planes and fly down here to chase billionaires on behalf of the citizens who just gave him $600 million. And apparently they're going to make Sashi Brown available. I hope you're allowed to get a question in. I hope you filed that in with Chad to get your question in ahead of time. But Sashi Brown's going to speak too, which is that's also a unicorn sighting, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, I'm
You ever talked to Sashi
what
Brown? Have you?
I have, other than the opening
He's
press
been here
conference,
2 years. You're the
I think
beat
I said
writer
hello.
for the team. He should know you. He doesn't know
So
you. We talk about things that Rubenstein's going to try to get right.
let me
Be
ask you
nice to
this.
people. Sashi Brown doesn't know anybody in this city. He's an outsider. Why
Let
would
me
he not want to know Luke Jones, who knows everybody?
ask you this, because I was going to ask you this off the air, so I might as well do it now, because I think it's you're a very relevant person to ask this. What would be your top three questions for Sashi Brown?
Money, money, and money. Stadium renovations. Why? Is the beer really colder inside the perimeter? Are the hot dogs really warmer? What does that really mean? Sashi, I got a report here that says your playoff tickets were the lowest sales of all the playoff teams. The prices were the lowest. You've had 10,000 empty seats at a lot of games last year. I can show you the SeatGeek and the StubHub, and the tickets were $10 on game nights for six of your nine home games last year. Well, Wembley, not Wembley, Tottenham being one of the other road games they did that drew a lot of people over there. So for you with commitment to down, I would ask Sashi Brown about his commitment to the city and where he's been and what he's been doing the last years and what he's learned about the Ravens and what he's learned about Baltimore and what he's learned about our community and what he's learned about the local government and like all of that. All has he been to an Oreo game? Where does he live? What's his favorite restaurant in town? Like, does he have has he been seen out? I mean, I like
You gave
these are
me a
the
lot more
things.
than three.
There you go. You got it.
I
All
wanted
right.
your, but I wanted your top three. I
Take
mean,
the
like,
top three. There you go.
okay.
Money, money, and money. The stadium,
Well,
the renovations.
I can't just say Sashi money. I was trying to do a little bit of a
How about
thought
this,
exercise
Sashi?
there.
Where's Steve? Where's the owner? There's the question one. That's one and one A. Where's the owner to answer these questions? Where's your owner? He hasn't answered questions in a couple of years. Where's he? We just gave him $600 million. We'd like to see him available. Yeah,
Okay.
that's all. Yeah, you got
Okay.
those? All right. We
Okay.
good? Luke and I are here. We're in Florida. He will be hanging out with John Harbaugh and Jim Harbaugh. You hit the Harbaugh daily double at the breakfast. Be following him out on social media. He'll be tweeting out stuff. I will probably be at Epcot drinking some avocado margarita or something like that and enjoying the Flower Festival and the sounds of ELO. The league issues and television and money and I mean, I feel like I was in a private conversation Saturday with a couple of friends that live in Tampa, went to a pool, and we started talking about football because that's what I do for a living and that's how they know me, even though I try not to talk about football at the pool. And we were talking about the Peacock thing and about the streaming thing. And they're just regular people who like football, you know what I mean? And they're Bucks fans and whatever. And he mentioned it to me. He's like, what's that Peacock playoff thing? We can't get games. Like, what are they doing? This is a guy who owns a business, right? So he's talking to me about it, but he doesn't really, he's not a big time football fan. He's just a football fan whose father-in-law upstairs wanted the Chiefs Dolphins game and couldn't get it that night. Like, literally, right? So he was asking me about it. So I think anything from the owners' meetings that involves the voice of what fans think, just to ask those questions. Is an important thing because I think at these things, and I think you know how douchey the media can be in a general sense, these things wind up being questions media guys want to ask instead of questions that fans want answered.
Right. Fair enough. Fair enough.
And I'm a media guy, I'm a douchey media guy. Luke Jones is here. He's the opposite of that. He is a Baltimore Luke. You can find him anywhere the internet is served doing Raven stuff. Certainly, the death of Peter Angelos, the life and legacy of him this week, the ownership of David Rubenstein, opening day. But from the Ravens' perspective for you, with this and seeing it against the room and against everybody else in the room, they're all chasing the Ravens at this point, dude. And you'll hear that for the next 2 days, right? I mean, number one seed, 13-4, MVP. John's kept his job. Eric's kept his job. They're a model organization. Everybody in the room doesn't really want it. They want to be Jerry because he makes money, but they don't want to operate. Nor Steve idolized Jerry Jones, but does not operate like he operates.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to like about the Ravens. And they're not all chasing the Ravens. They're chasing the Chiefs. You know, I mean, but certainly the Ravens are one of the teams at the top there. And, you know, I think it's, you know, that going back to what I said a few minutes ago, I think this is a fascinating offseason for them because they are in a position where they've lost a lot of players. They've lost a lot of coaches. You know, I mean, they lost an executive, you know, I mean, Eric DaCosta lost his right-hand man, Joe Ortiz. So, you know, he's down here, you know, as the general manager of the Chargers now. So it's a lot of Ravens fingerprints with some of these other organizations that are going to be present this week. But at the same time, all of that being acknowledged, this is a team that's still in a really good position. They've made some really good moves, you know, beginning with keeping Justin Madubuike. And obviously they made the big move with Derrick Henry. And we're going to see how that plays out in terms of how lucrative and how fruitful that's going to be. But they've got some question marks too, but they always do this time of year. This isn't the time of year where the Ravens are at their best in terms of perception from a football standpoint, right? I mean, last year was a great example of this. Look at all the guys that at this time last year weren't on the roster. I mean, heck, they didn't even have Lamar signed. I mean, he wanted to be traded at this time last year. And to the point that you just made, they were 13-4 in the number one seed and the best team in the NFL during the regular season. So I think that's where it's also important to maintain some levity and understand where things are right now for this team and, you know, where they're going to be going. And they got a lot of work to do. I think John will acknowledge that when he speaks at the coach's breakfast. But, you know, I think they've got a really strong core in place that's going to continue to put them in a position to win. And we've seen it over and over, just going on year seven now. Lamar Jackson's healthy and upright. The Ravens win a lot of football games to get to January. But you know what's coming next, because we've been talking about that for 2 months now since the AFC title game. All comes down to January. All comes down to whatever moves they're going to make between now and then. What's going to position them for January? You know, Derrick Henry, you and I had great debate on that, you know, in terms of you love it. I don't hate it. Let's be clear about that. I'm a little more torn, a little more uncertain in terms of uses of the resources and what he's going to bring compared to what they've already done running the football and what else they still need to do with their roster.
They figure out the offensive line, he's a great piece. If they don't figure out the offensive line, you're right and I'm wrong.
But part of that was also what you spent on him could have helped you with the offensive line. Anyway, point is, Derrick Henry, if he helps them win games in January, it's a great move. But if he runs for 1,500 yards and they still fail in January, and I don't want to say fail, they lose, they come up short, they don't get...
They come up short and they hand him the ball four times in 60 minutes, then...
Sure. But, you know, so, I mean, it's both a great place and it's a lousy place to be, because it's great because you've had all this success and you know the expectations are high. And you have every expectation that you're going to continue to be really good. At the same time, I'm not sure what else they could possibly do in the regular season at this point that is really, truly going to matter from a legacy setting, a legacy defining standpoint. It's all January.
They go 16-1 and lose in the third week of the playoffs. It's over, right?
And it's even worse, right?
You said nobody's chasing them. They're chasing the Chiefs. I'll agree to that at some point. But then that report card came out that the Chiefs aren't making their own players happy to some degree. But I would agree with you. But I think from a stability standpoint, every team in the league would like to have what the Ravens have every year where they're in the room and in the conversation. That's all. And
sure,
that's my compliment to the Ravens. Don't expect me to compliment a much down here while you have a press pass and I don't.
Sure. I mean, look, and I would also say the Ravens didn't get all A's in that either. I have feelings about that report card in terms of how the grading actually works. And my thought is, beyond the overwhelmingly glowing A+ grades, and the F- like the Orioles got for their strength coach grade Ravens got for their strength coach grade last year with Steve's on the heels of Steve Saunders being fired, I think most of the grades in the middle, most of the rankings from whether you're fifth or 25th, I think that's a lot of statistical noise at the end of the day. I think it's worth an ear. Like, it's worth at least considering it. I don't think it's necessarily, you know, because you ranked 17th in something rather than fifth, that makes necessarily a major difference. But your point is well taken. And look, I was only disputing the fact that you have a team that's won the Super Bowl three times in the last, 5 years or whatever it is. But beyond that, I mean, the Ravens, they're one of the class organizations. We know that. And they've been right there. They're consistently getting to January here in recent years. In the Lamar era, they absolutely have. They've gotten there every year. He hasn't been hurt. But you know, they've got to break through. So everything they do now, you know, whether we're talking about backup corners or who's going to play right tackle, who's going to rush from the edge, it's all about January. All about January. All about January. That's tough because we're going to talk about it a whole lot between now and then. And that doesn't mean we don't, you know, fans shouldn't enjoy the ride. But in terms of the legacy, you know, the regular season accolades at this point, it's been there, done that. I mean, Lamar's won two MVPs. He'd be the first to tell you that. I've won two MVPs. I need a Super Bowl.
He's won two MVPs in two playoff games.
So, I mean, it's...
Right? 2-4 in playoff games, correct?
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, 2-4.
I mean, I'll also throw out something, at least the acknowledgement of you've been so great in the regular season, you've had two byes also. You don't get credit for wild card wins when that happens, but we should at least acknowledge that. But yeah, two playoff wins. Two playoff wins for John Harbaugh since 2014. Two playoff wins for Mark Andrews or for
Marlon Humphrey in there. Yeah, I like
that. Yeah, Marlon Humphrey. I mean, you know, that Ronnie Stanley. I mean, that's, you know, they're all there. You know, they're all chasing that. You know, this team has done so much in the regular season, but it's the truth. January. I mean, it's where it is right now. That I don't say that the regular season means nothing. I mean, my goodness, of course you have to play well to get there, but everything they do now, and that's why the Derrick Henry thing, it comes down to this. Does he help them win in January? If he runs for 1,500 yards and they lose in the divisional round again, or not the AFC championship, then that doesn't mean it was the wrong move, to be clear, but was it the move that put them over the hump? No, it wasn't. So, you know, that's just kind of where they are right now. And, you know, I think it is worth noting they've made some depth signings here, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. They are in a position where they can restructure a couple deals here or there and create some cap space. I don't think there are a ton of players on the open market at this point, other than like re-signing Jadeveon Clowney, for example, that are moves that necessarily are moving the needle dramatically, especially at some of their positions of need. But, you know, we'll see what happens. I mean, we're about a month out from the draft, believe it or not, which, you know, it feels like it feels like the season just ended in some ways. But, you know, before we know it, it'll be draft time and see where they pick, you know, who they pick 30th overall. And they've got a number of other picks as they get deeper into the draft that they've got to hit on some of those. It becomes that much more important. We saw this in the post big contract Joe Flacco era with Lamar. It becomes more and more important now for them to nail their draft picks. You know, they get a couple more drafts like they had in 22, where you get Hamilton and Linderbaum. You do that one or two more times over the next 3 or 4 years, then you've got some more superstars coming onto this team at a cheap rate. And that's, you know, that's what they're going to be hoping to do here come next month.
Got to keep up with all these Jackson Holidays and Colton Cowsers we got going on the baseball side. It's opening day week. It's also NFL owners meetings. Luke and I are in Florida. We've been in Florida the last 5 days running around with the Orioles. Now we're going to run around with the Ravens for a little while. We're stoked about the baseball season and certainly a couple weeks out on the draft. The only thing we're going to do football-wise here for a little while is what we're doing. We'll be back in Baltimore on Wednesday. In the meantime, keep enjoying us. Keep following Luke out on social media. I am Nestor. He is Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. And we never stop talking Baltimore positive.